And if you've got the Bible with you today, we're headed to Matthew chapter 28. And you can start working that direction. So the first time that Melissa and I spent any time together, we knew each other a little bit, but this is the first time we really ever hung out together. We got together with a group of friends, and we went downtown Oklahoma City. We were in school in Oklahoma, and we went down to a garden one evening. There's a big public garden area, and the objective was to go down there and play hide-and-go-seek in the dark. And since we didn't know who we might stumble across at the park at night, we decided it would be of great wisdom to pair up, and I think that was my plan. And somehow, I ended up being paired up with Melissa, and I'll be honest, I orchestrated that as well. And so we began the challenge of playing hide and seek together, and it was challenging because we had a very different vision of what this game of hide and seek would look like. I think she thought we would find a good spot to sit comfortably and visit for a while and just wait till somebody found us. And I had a different vision for hide and seek, which was to win hide and seek. And so I was all about a really, really good spot. And I think, like, even as we had walked around the park a little bit to kind of get a feel for the place, I was already like picking out spots. And so I found there's this walkway that had a little bridge. And like underneath the bridge was big stones, you know, and the water was running over the big stones. And I was like, we're getting under that bridge, baby. And so I was going to help her get down there. And we crawled underneath that bridge. And we're sitting on like cold, hard rocks. And every time I heard anything, I was like, shh. No speaking. Which was not her vision at all. And so we lasted a long time in silence, and it was great, and I thought that was fantastic. I mean, what could possibly be more fun than winning, right? So was an interesting evening, and we laughed, and we went back, and I was like, I'm in. I got to find out more about this Melissa girl, and she was sitting there going, wow, he did not want to talk to me at all, which wasn't the case. I just didn't want to talk while anyone was within 100 yards of us. That was the case. So I began to shift my mission and my objective there, and I tried to figure out any way I could possibly find to spend more time with her. And that was the new mission I was on. I'm sure you've had times where you've had missions and you've had a vision for something. And maybe you've had many of those over the course of your life. So I want to ask you, what are some of the things you've been passionate about or excited about? As you think back over your life, there's probably a few things that stand out that you're like, man, I was all about that, right? And what about now? If you were going to say, you know, what's my mission right now? Like, what is my life about? What pops into your head? Don't answer me. I'm just getting you to think. What pops into your head that you're going, this is, if I was going to say my life is about, it's this one thing. You know, as we think about what we get excited about, what we talk about, what we share about, you know, one of the things that just pops right, literally as I'm writing this sermon, I'm thinking, wow, I probably think way too much about sports. I look down, yep, I got my Bears hoodie on. Yep, I got my baseball cap on, promoting my Cubbies. And so I'm running, like, I'm a walking billboard for this. Like, I'm literally looking for people to go, Bears fan, let's talk about how much we hate Aaron Rodgers together and commiserate and, you know, woefully cry about the last 20 years of Packers amazingness. Like, so, you know, like, those are the kind of things that you're looking for, right? Because this is like you're sending the signal, this is what I'm into. And the same is true about lots of other things. I mean, politics, boy, we're easy to jump into that one, aren't we, with both feet? Maybe some of you are not. Some of us are. Some people love to talk food, right? Or the places they've eaten. Other people are hobbies, places they've been. Basically, if you get somebody on the right subject, you know, because they could talk forever about it, right? Here's the truth. We all pursue and promote what we believe is most important. You're going to talk about the things that matter most to you, right? Just like you can go, wow, that was their hot button issue. They would not shut up. Same's true about all of us, right? If you get anybody on the right subject, you can get somebody talking. And so I want to ask you to really think about your own life. What are you pursuing and what are you promoting? What are you trying to convince people to experience or embrace? That's what you're promoting. And that points directly to the mission you have chosen to accept. Right? Your mission, should you choose to accept it. You have accepted it. If you're pursuing it and you're promoting it. Now, is that your God-given mission, or is that a mission you've embraced for some other reason? You might be wondering what your God-given mission would even be. Maybe that's not a thought that's ever even occurred to you. Many people have not embraced a mission. Like, specifically, they haven't ever said, this is what I'm going to pursue. A lot of people just kind of bounce from one cause to the next. You know, people get excited about the latest fad diet or the latest fad exercise program or the latest TV series or the latest amazing book. Even in Christianity, that happens. I can't tell you how many hundreds of people I had tell me I had to read the Prayer of Jabez in the early 2000s, right? I mean, it was like everywhere, right? Maybe it's some life-changing product that you just have to tell everybody about. That's one of my favorite things about my grandmother, is she is always promoting something, and it's usually hilarious. And she's still alive, and I can say this because she has such poor hearing, I know she will never listen to this. So I'm safe, as long as none of the other family members report me, right? But my grandma will get so excited about some crazy cockamamie thing, and she will invest a couple $1,000s. And my grandfather's famous line is, if it takes a couple $1,000s to keep your wife happy, I'm in. Like, that's his famous line. So she got all into diet cookies at one point. She was like, this is a meal replacement. It's taking over the world. Everyone's going to be eating these diet cookies. Why would you eat a meal when you can eat a cookie? Which does kind of make sense. But they're horrible cookies. That's why you wouldn't eat a cookie, right? I mean, it's not like this is a package of Keebler's here or something good. This is a disgusting diet cookie. And there's been so many things like that. One of my favorites was she put in this water filtration system that, like, corrected the pH balance. And I started teasing her. I was like, Grandma, this is magic water. Like, thank you for introducing this into my life. Before I leave, I'm going to be healed, you know? It was great. I just tease her so much. But she gets excited, right? And we all have things in our lives that we get excited about. And I've also, you know, seeing a lot of Christians that were not very excited about their faith. And that's hard. What is our mission when it comes to the Lord supposed to look like? A lot of people don't know. You know, we might know we have gifts, and we might know, you know, we're designed to function somehow in the body. But when it comes right down to it, you know, we're different in those ways, but we're all given essentially the same mission. And we find that mission in a very famous passage in Scripture called the Great Commission. And it's Jesus' final marching orders to his followers, and this is our mission, given to us directly by Jesus himself. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm going to throw it on the screen. You can follow along if you got a Bible or want to look at it there as well. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came up and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, most churches know this is the mission. And that's why almost any church you ever talk to or go to or hear about is going to be talking about reaching people with the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Yet, by and large, most Christians are not on that mission. So the churches might have it in their mission statement, and we might support missionaries, but really we're not very on mission most of the time. Amen. So, today we're not talking about where or how, but I want to talk a lot about why. Why would we be telling people about salvation through Jesus? Why would we bother teaching people how to follow and abide in Him? Why should I be mission-minded? First reason, to experience the power of God. The opening line of the Great Commission is all about authority, right? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the resurrected Christ says that he has authority, or he has power over everything in heaven and on earth. And Christ lets his followers know that there is nothing that can happen to them that doesn't have to go through him first. He has all authority. So, cancer has to go through him. Coronavirus has to go through him. Being attacked has to go through him. War has to go through him. It all has to go through him. At the end of the day, you really have nothing to fear. It all has to go through him. And even when you go, oh, this is too much, I don't even know how to pray, I'm overwhelmed, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, which is incredible. Like, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Like, do you get the picture that Jesus is painting here? All authority has been given to him over heaven and earth. It all goes through him. Nothing is ever going to happen in your life that he doesn't 100% know exactly what's going on and has authority over it. That's pretty incredible. It's powerful. And this is the same power and authority that he uses as he propels us as we step out in obedience. And when we pursue the mission that Christ gave us, we get to walk in his power, his authority, connected to him. Connected to him in the same way he's connected to the Father. That's his prayer in John 17, the prayer of intercession for his followers, that we would be one, and we'd be one with him as he is one with the Father. Like, man, this is just power, flow, and authority right here. It's amazing. So nothing can really take you out when you get on mission. If it does take you out, it can't actually take you out, because you just go to eternity with him. He's got you. And I love the stories of the saints. Like, I'm thinking it's, I think it was Gladys Aylward that was a missionary, and maybe it was Amy Carmichael. But anyway, the story was they went over and they had a huge, awesome ministry, and then they started getting hurt, like fell in a pit, like twice. Kept breaking things, couldn't even get out of bed anymore. And you go, well, mission's over. No. That was when they started writing books. The books that reshaped Christian culture. It's incredible. Nothing can stop us when we get on mission with God. our participation in the Great Commission brings us under that heavenly authority. And there is no better place to be. So embrace the mission. We're also mission-minded as an expression of obedience and love. Christ commands us to go make disciples, right? There's an order there. This isn't the great suggestion. It's the great commission. And if you love someone and you know something matters to them, then it's going to matter to you, right? So when we make disciples, we're not only going to teach others to obey everything Christ commanded. Like, you don't just teach that. You model it. You can't just run around and go, well, you should do everything God told us. Except, yeah, we're not going to really worry about the lost. We're ignoring a huge, huge command if we do that. So how can you teach someone else to obey Christ if we don't obey Christ? That's a tough sell. So participating in the Great Commission is, in a sense, simultaneously the way we obey and teach others to obey. Like, we're modeling it for those that we're reaching as we continue to reach more. And Scripture makes it pretty clear that the Lord knows our love for Him by our obedience to Him. That's John 14. So, embrace the mission. We're also mission-minded because it's an eternal investment. Right? Scripture talks about how foolish it is to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. And I'll tell you, I've tried to store up some treasures. I've got two big tubs full of sports memorabilia cards that are probably worth about the paper they're printed on, because everyone was collecting sports memorabilia cards when they were a kid at my age. So there's like 4 billion copies of every single dumb card. Like the Michael Jordan rookie baseball card, like, that I thought was going to, you know, pay for my retirement. It's still worth like $8. It's insane. I think I paid $7 for it. So the return has not been good on that one. And the stock market is about the same, you know, like I tried that one too. And Bitcoin is, you know, up and down. So, you know, nothing's working out great. Social Security, I'm probably not going to cash a penny out of that. I'm just realizing that's a donation to other people's retirement. So at the end of the day, none of it's going with us to the other side, right? I mean, we want to make wise choices, but it's none of it's going. And when we embrace Christ's mission for us, we're investing in souls. And that does go with us. That's the thing that matters. In the end, what matters more? You know, like, you could work and get a great retirement set up. You could have a scenario where you play golf every day for a decade. Who cares? You're still going to die. Right? So maybe we ought to be a little more concerned with, what's my spiritual legacy going to be? What's my spiritual investment going to be? What's my return going to be on the other side of eternity? Is there a purpose that any of us could embrace loftier than working to bring every nation under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ? Can we give our lives to any greater purpose than this? If the answer is something else, we've lost sight of something. Because there is no human pursuit that's going to echo louder in the halls of heaven than the conversion of sinners and the salvation of the lost. So embrace the mission. This is a good mission. Embracing this mission allows us to bless others. We're blessing others. I think all of us can agree that our actions, no matter what our actions are always based in our beliefs, right? You don't do anything unless you believe something, right? You don't mow the lawn if you don't believe it's going to keep growing, right? If you thought it was going to stop growing, you'd stop mowing, right? I mean, anything you do, literally anything, you would not, you get up out of bed because you believe, like, there's going to be a bad things are going to happen if I don't get up out of bed this morning and start my day, right? You believe something or you wouldn't do something. Everything, like, you wouldn't sit in a chair if you believed that chair was going to swallow you whole and take you down a black hole to the other side of the earth, like, right? I mean, like, crazy, like, nobody does anything without a belief, right? So, if we really believe that hell exists, what are we doing? Blessing someone with the opportunity for salvation is far more important than anything else we could ever give them. Even the thought of going, I'm going to prevent this person from starving. If you save them from starving for them only to go to hell, what have you really accomplished? So when people are really set free from sin and they're able to embrace God's kingdom and they arrive at that pearl of great price, they will be like that man who sold everything for that treasure hidden in a field. And it says, regarding that parable, in his joy, he sold everything to purchase it. In his joy. And those who embrace the mission of the Great Commission are offering the greatest joy a person can ever have. But we get more excited about, you got to try this new flavor of Oreo. And for some reason, we seem to think that if we share about salvation through Jesus with people, that they're going to be angry with us, or we're going to get rejected, or whatever. Again, if you really believe what the Bible says, like, you would have to hate someone not to tell them about Jesus and implore them to give their life to him. So embrace the mission. Fifth reason to be mission-minded, so that we can experience the near presence of Christ. Almost every Christian I've ever talked to would like to just experience Christ more. You know, like, I hear over and over, like, I'm trying to hear from God, but I don't feel like I really hear from him like some people hear from him. I'd like to feel God, but I don't necessarily feel him like it feels like other people feel him. Like, we just want a little more because you see it in other people. And so you go, man, I want that too. And that's good. The problem is that often what we're really asking for is we want Jesus to come alongside us in our mission. That's what we really want. Like, I'm really busy with this, but I'd love it if Jesus was interested in my mission. That'd be really cool. We could spend time together. And in reality, like, Jesus has a pretty incredible, important mission, and he's asked us to come alongside him and spend time with him in his mission. So how are we going to get there? When we really embrace his mission, when he's the thing we're most pursuing, when he's the thing we're telling others about, he will be right there with us. We will experience him. Verse 20 literally says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Lord promises his presence with his church. That presence is felt most when we are on mission with him. So start speaking about Christ and you're going to experience Christ more. It's kind of like, have you ever had that experience where you go buy a new car and suddenly you see that same car everywhere, right? Even your same color. Like, all of a sudden you're like, my neighbor drives the same car as me. I didn't even notice that till I bought that car. I didn't know he drove that car, right? It's like everywhere. You just see it over and over and over and over. It just starts popping out at you. It's because you're kind of, like, excited about and focused on your new car. So you notice it everywhere. When we're really excited about and focused on Christ, it's all of a sudden we're going to see he's at work all around us. Start to notice it more. You don't have to then have some incredibly rehearsed line or speech. If you just mention to someone when you see God working, you're going to find you not only are seeing God more, but that he'll be at work even in those brief conversations. So, embrace the mission. Lastly, we should be mission-minded because it shows that God cares. How many times have you heard people say things like, you know, I just don't think God cares, or he wouldn't allow so much evil in our world, or, you know, you hear those arguments, right? And the reality is God doesn't want anyone to perish eternally. He lovingly created each person, and he doesn't want to see anyone go to hell, but he's not going to force anyone to let him reign on the throne of their life. And if we don't choose him now, then we get eternity without him, by our own choosing, and without every good thing that comes from him. And this command from Christ to his followers, some of his last words before he ascends back to heaven, and he charges us, the church, with something of great importance to him, that we would make his love and goodness known. And he leaves us his enduring charge, a charge resting on his power, blessed with his presence, his near presence, and purchased in his blood. And he gives his own life because God loves and he cares about his creation, his precious creation. And the role of the church, the role of our we have as Christians, is to declare that good news, that God actually cares. And because our Lord cares, we should care too. Embrace the mission. Be mission-minded. There's lots of places that talk about different ways people embrace that in Scripture. And Paul says this in Romans 15 as he talks about how he embraced the Great Commission. Romans 15, 20 to 21, Paul says, "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel." He wanted people to know. He wanted to preach not where Christ was already named. Like, it's great to encourage the saints, but he wanted to proclaim God. He says, "So that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand." We're called to get out there and proclaim. To proclaim the good news. And we're not called to keep relentlessly targeting the exact same person who's already given us the cold shoulder 40 times, but to look for opportunity and receptivity, right? I mean, like when Jesus sent out the disciples and he said, you know, if they don't welcome you, wipe the dust off your feet and move on to the next town. When they do welcome you, do ministry there. That's a really simple idea. Just go where you're wanted. But keep looking for those opportunities. And there are opportunities everywhere. How many of you have ever had someone, or maybe not ever, well, let's say this. How many of you often have somebody ask you this? "What are you doing for the weekend? Got any plans?" Right? I mean, that's like a really normal workplace conversation, isn't it? See, I don't have people that have, we don't have workplace conversations like that. Nick and I, we always know what each other's doing for the weekend. But when I go to like the barber or something, like that's always the first thing they ask me. "So what do you got plans for the weekend?" "Church." Like, I always, I mean, that's what I have planned for the weekend. I'm not making it up. That's where I go on the weekend. That's always what I'm doing. So, I mean, I can talk about something else maybe, but I almost always come back to church, and it's kind of an opportunity because when I say church, now we get to have a conversation. And either I can say something along the lines of, well, if you don't have a church, I'd love for you to come visit mine. I don't have to tell them I'm the pastor. That's always a fun surprise when they walk in and, yeah. Surprise, yeah. So that's always an opportunity. And then the other thing is, you know, hey, you know, yeah, I'll be going to church on Sunday. So do you ever grow up in church? Or, you know, asking people where they, what they grew up with, almost everybody's happy to talk about that. Nobody's like, mind your business. I mean, I would if they said that, but most people are happy to have that conversation. And it can lead to all kinds of places. It's a very simple entry point, right? So next time somebody says, you got any plans this weekend? Church. Like, boom, you just started a conversation about God. It's pretty easy. Okay? Another opportunity, I mean, man, people come all the time looking for advice, right? Because people have problems in their life. People have hard things. Give them biblical advice. And then share with them where it is in the Bible. It's a pretty easy opportunity. Oftentimes, Proverbs has some great stuff. If you need to Google it, Google it. Another thing, when people show up and say, man, I got this thing going, and you know they're just needing an ear, just offer to pray for them. I've only had one person refuse prayer. It was a Jehovah Witness. So that's a tip as well. If you they don't like you to pray for them. So offer. And it's pretty neat. So, but you get opportunities to pray for people, and that's an opportunity to minister to them. And it's an opportunity. You don't have to be an amazing prayer person. I mean, nobody's over there when you go, hey, can I pray for you? They're going, well, is it going to be a good one? How do you rate yourself on prayer? Because I'm like a 5 and up. I don't go 5 and below. You know, like, if you can't do a 5 and up, we're not doing this. Nobody ever says those kind of things. I mean, you could have a very simple prayer of, Lord, just be with them in this, and we just pray that you'll comfort them and bring them peace. And they're going to go, thank you. That's what you get almost every single time. It's not offensive. It's not abusive. It's really easy. And it doesn't take a long time. All of those kinds of moments, even if you are just in a public place and you take 20 seconds to bow your head and pray, all of those moments become opportunities, potentially, where we're on mission, where we're bringing the light of Christ to those who don't have it. Be on mission. What is hard to imagine for me is being a church that ignores God's heart for the lost. That's a terrifying thought, because that is not a church that is obedient. That is not a church that's grounded in the Word. What's exciting, though, is to imagine a church where every single person is going out as a light into their world. And guys, we overlap lots of rings, right? You start talking about 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever that old game used to be, like, you can trace your way back to Kevin Bacon. I mean, we have a lot of similar connections, but we also have a lot of different connections. And if we're actually each all shining, like, man, people are going to be bombarded with Jesus. It will not take long to infect an entire town. That's pretty amazing. We just got to shine. We just got to open our mouth and begin to proclaim the goodness of God in our community. We all have a mission. What's your mission? Are you embracing the Great Commission? Or are you settling for something far less? If you consider yourself a Christ follower and you've abandoned the mission, then repentance is in order. And you might not be sitting there going, well, this is not some egregious sin. I just haven't really talked about my faith like maybe I should. Well, it's something we're commanded to do. So, you know, it might be time to do a little realignment on this thing. You know, if we're not really taking seriously the Great Commission, there's a little heart issue going on that needs to get addressed. Because you cannot follow him and ignore his mission. You just can't do it. If you're ignoring the mission, you're really not following. The two have to go together. Have to. So I want to just take a few minutes here and let us spend a moment in prayer. And maybe this is a moment where God really searches your heart, or maybe God puts something on your heart, or the Holy Spirit just nudges you in a certain way. But I just want to give a moment of space to give God just a chance to speak to you today. Lord, just collectively, we do ask that you would forgive us for where we have lost sight of the mission, and we have lost touch with your heart for the world around us. Lord, it's easy for us to slide into kind of self-preservation mode, but that's not what you've called us to. You've called us to lay down our life, just as you laid down your life. So Lord, with you as our example, we pray that we can move in boldness. Lord, that we can move toward the lost with a heart to share the good news with them about what you've done so that we can all be free and walk in newness of life. Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes to the many, many opportunities that exist for us to share about you, the opportunities that exist to invite people to taste and see that you're good. Lord, we know you can transform lives. Lord, help us not to hide that under some kind of rock, but to proclaim it. Lord, help us to proclaim how you've transformed our lives to make your glory known. We pray it all in your name. Amen. So next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at different ways we can dive into this, different arenas where we need to be on mission. So this was why. And then we're going to be digging into how. So hope you'll join us the next few weeks as we keep going. And I want to say this too as we close is that, you know, if for anybody this was like, man, I guess I really haven't actually officially taken that step to follow Christ or to give my life to him or let him be the Lord of my life. Man, there is no more important step that you could take, and I would love to have that conversation with you before you even walk out the doors here today. So don't hesitate to grab me on that. Literally, just you can literally grab me. That's of utmost priority. So thanks for coming out today, and the sun's going to shine, I think, and we need to go shine too. So go get them. We'll see you next week. God bless.